Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Fight Show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
We will crown a new world heavyweight champion. This will be a champion that will defend anywhere, anytime, all over the world.
WWE will never look the same.
You are listening to The Fight Show here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, covering tomorrow's WWE pay-per-view from Saudi Arabia, Night of Champions. You can follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network on Twitter at The SGP Network, at The SGP Network. You can follow me on two Twitter accounts. The first one is a Twitter account for the Soccer Gambling Podcast. I'm the host of the Soccer Gambling Podcast, and you can follow me at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. My other Twitter account where I talk about all sports is at LockBettingCom. That's at LockBettingCom. If you look at the top of that page, you will always see the P&L for the previous month. And we have delivered 119 months in a row of transparent track profit. We are just 1 month away from delivering a decade of profit and being undefeated every single month for a decade, undefeated every single month for 10 years. I am joined by my regular colleague when it comes to breaking down wrestling. He regularly joins me every week on the Dirty Sheets and is the host of the Lingus Mafia podcast, is Mr. Cav Manning.
Hey, it's nice to be here with you, Billy. And going over some betting lines, because there's only a few that I'm not very strong on, where you're like pretty sure on a lot of things about, oh yeah, well, these guys are going to win, these guys are going to win. Then there's just only a little bit. I'm interested to hear what you think, if you think they're all pretty easy or not. Do you have any opinions off the top of your head if these betting lines are simple and, like, what's the easy cash in?
Well, I can tell you straight off the bat, not a lot of these lines are close. They're relatively wide. We don't have what we had at WrestleMania where we have 10 to 11 favorites. You know how NFL lines, when they make the spread, it's always to make it even. Mm-hmm. So it's always the same odds on both teams, except one team's getting points. And we had that with a few matches at WrestleMania. We had that with Bianca Belair and Oscar, but there's one that sticks out in particular. But here, we don't have that. We have relatively wide favorites for all these matches. So I think to make a profit here, you would be looking at being with a book where you could do a parlay or something along those lines, because unless you strongly fancy an underdog, you're not really going to be able to make a lot of money unless you want to bet a lot of money on certain outcomes. So if you're 100% that somebody wins, let's say Brock or Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, for example, then you know you would have to put quite a bit down to make on this particular show. It is full of wide favorites. And usually I do tend to find these Saudi shows quite predictable. They usually have a house showy kind of feel to them as far as the booking goes, in terms of making the Saudis as happy as possible by having their win, unless it's somebody who's in the midst of a significant push and it would just derail everything that the company are doing. So, for example, every time Roman's gone there and successfully defended, or in this instance, does it make sense to put the title on Ali to appease people and derail the momentum of Gunter that you've built for months and months? So, they're really the only questions. But I usually do find these cards in particular quite easy.
So let's get into the first one. What do we got?
So we'll start off the top. But I am hearing this won't be the main event, Seth Rollins and AJ Styles. I think they're pivoting towards having Sammy and Kevin versus Roman and Solo as the last match. And this would be the opening match, which I think immediately diminishes the importance of this title being anywhere near equal to the other one. Do you not agree?
Yeah, I mean, I understand also how they do things to where it's, let's start it off with a monster of a match right off the bat to get everybody, you know, juices flowing and all that kind of stuff. But if it is for a brand new world title, it should be the main event. It's the world title, even though it's not the real world title.
It's the world title, but we all know this was created because nobody could beat someone for the other one. So it does kind of feel like...
They did that with the Patriots, right? They just said, we're not going to have a Super Bowl anymore. We're going to have a second one because the Patriots win. Didn't they do that?
Well, Patriots didn't. The Patriots were not that. They were
just Tom. Tom was not allowed anymore. See, Tom is like Roman then. So you had to move Tom around.
So the odds... Go on.
I was going to say, okay, what are the odds with Seth and... AJ, because I think this is every package in the world was for Seth. AJ barely got a mention this week.
Yeah, I mean, he did turn up to the press conference though today, which Rollins did not make. But it does seem like they were singing Rollins's song when Becky was out there, and she had to sort of pivot away from what she was saying to say things like, yeah, he agrees with me too. He agrees with me too. Like, because they were just singing for him. And they were singing his song and she was going, yes, yes. And he agrees too. Like, because they didn't care about
shoehorn it in.
Yeah, because they didn't care that she was out there. So it was odd. But so Rollins is the -800, 1-8 favorite to win this match. And AJ Styles is 5-1, a 5-1 underdog. What do you think? I think this is relatively straightforward.
Yeah, I do too. And also because why is a guy from SmackDown even in this for one? And his whole group is on SmackDown. So the whole thing is just, it's dopey. And as over as Seth is, he's the hot guy right now. They want Saudi, that entire place doing that music. They're begging for that. They want that thing to go on for 10 minutes without interruption. So I'm going with Seth without even thinking twice.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is an easy one to add on. It doesn't really add a lot of money, even to parlays. I mean, you're having to win $100, so you have to bet $800. So I think the interesting part here is that as Roman moves on to having to have singles matches again, and with a lot of people feeling that Cody needed to win at WrestleMania because Roman was running out of opponents, I was not one of those people, because you do have Randy Orton coming back at some point this year, even though he's had setbacks. You do have the Edge match with his career on the line versus career versus title. Bobby Lashley hasn't had a title shot yet against Roman. And of course you have the revisiting of the Seth feud. Now, on television, from what we've seen, it's only Seth Rollins is talking about Roman continuously. And my prediction here will be that this reign will be short-lived, because I can see Rollins winning this. I can see Rollins defending this on television and making a big deal out of that and saying, oh, look, I'm the champion who shows up. Mm-hmm. I'm the champion who defends belt every week and on every pay-per-view. And I'm making this the most prestigious belt, so you can forget about the other one and whatnot. And then we're in there in the same building, possibly in England. I think Roman will hear all that and then squash this guy and beat him up and leave him for dead, allowing the Money in the Bank winner to cash in on him, which means you then have Rollins wanting revenge against Roman for that. Totally negating the draft again, which isn't really a big deal. Because if you're predicting that Roman and Seth won't happen at SummerSlam just because this company have some sort of loyalty to the draft, then you're a fucking idiot who hasn't been watching for the last however many years, like since 2002 when they first did a draft. So they haven't adhered to it at all, particularly in the last decade. So yeah, I think that ultimately that's where we're going, because no one else is talking about Roman at all, unless it's going to be an internal challenger that rises from the inside the bloodline, because that's where his feud is, or, you know, he gets pinned by Sammy this weekend or Kevin, but they're revisiting things you've already done, which I think is the last thing the Roman Reigns Roman Reigns run needs when you're revisiting and rehashing opponents when you do have fresh opposition to go against. So I think that's where it'll go with this. But I think Seth wins on this night. And that sort of segues on to our next match, where Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are 1-3 minus 300 favorites to beat Solo and Roman, who are 2-1 plus 200 underdogs. A lot of stuff being thrown up on Twitter, a lot of like photoshops and things of Roman with all the belts. What do you think is one of the matches that you have close or not?
I don't. My best bet is that some of the Usos will come to give help when not asked, and this causes a problem, and somebody's going to end up losing because of that, and start more of a feud with Roman and the Usos, and having issues with them, and like, I didn't ask you to come here. You came here to, get favor with me and all that kind of stuff. So, I can't even imagine. You imagine Roman gets these belts too. I hope for it, but, I highly doubt that. And I don't believe Roman's going to be the one who gets pinned here either. I think it's going to be such a, like, everyone's distracted and there's a roll up because of a screw up. So it's not like, I'm not expecting Solo to get like knocked out or anything from it. I expect oh my God, I got rolled up from behind because you were distracting me type of thing.
I think it will be more cleaner than a roll up, because I just feel this is going to go on last. And after watching that press conference just now, and with Sammy coming out last, and with Sammy being so over to the point, it took him about 5 minutes to speak at this press conference just now. I think he'll get the pinfall, and I do think it'll be via Haluva kick. So I do think they'll get that in. But I also think there'll be miscommunication and whatnot with the Usos. I do agree with that. But I think it will be cleaner than a roll-up, because it's the last thing that you'll see. I don't think it's going to be a roll-up and you let the bloodline implode. I think it will be a finish where you let Sammy and Kevin celebrate and you allow Saudi children into the ring and everything and make it as easy as you possibly can. So yeah, I'm surprised there, because I've seen a lot of stuff online where people are most torn about this match, and it's been a lot of people saying, oh my God, he's going to win all the belts and all this kind of shit and photoshops and all that. And in fact, last week's SmackDown was pre-taped. And what you'll see tonight is that Roman, at the end of the Kevin Owens show, does raise all of the belts. There's a real-life visual of that. Not Photoshop. So
when did they record this? When did they record this one?
Last Friday.
Last Friday. Wow. So they jumped ahead a whole week. They didn't even do it like after a show on Monday. Wow. Okay.
No, because you'd have to drag everybody to Monday's show for no reason when all the SmackDown people are already there. There's no point.
Yeah, I was wondering about SmackDown because I'm like, well, everybody's got to get over there. Are they going to do one of those shows like before Mania where there's three people on the card? You know, one of those things. What do you think is the reason straying away from the betting thing for 5 seconds? How is Sammy and Owens convinced like to go to Saudi? Wasn't that always like a choice that, and they just said, we're not going? Now they are. Are they told to go? What's up?
Sammy wasn't allowed to go. And then there was a positive reaction for him when he wasn't there, like people chanting his name last time they were there. And the Saudi prince, the people in charge, essentially decided that, oh, we need to make this happen, and discussed it with the WWE. And Sammy was open to doing it because this whole thing is sold as building bridges, right? That's the whole thing with this. It's sold as building bridges, and we're moving things forward, and we're giving hope to women, and we're showing people like that Saudi is becoming more tolerant and a place that ultimately go to. People are putting events there. They're buying up events at a loss, by the way, to make people go there. Their whole thing is geared towards tourism. That's why they overpay for boxing, they overpay for football, they overpay for wrestling, because they have money to burn. But essentially what they don't have is tourism footfall. I mean, I'm sure they have it now, but they want to be the tourist capital of the world. So that's what it's all geared towards. And it's all a big PR stunt. They're not paying $100 million for WWE. They're paying $100 million for publicity. And Sami Zayn is great publicity. You allow this Syrian over there to go to your mosques and all of this, which he's been doing this week. And he spoke Arabic in the press conference and they all like ate it up. And yeah, this is just PR, PR, PR. And I think it's bad PR if they lose too. So yeah, Owens wasn't going because Sammy wasn't going.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because he camaraderie thing.
But it obviously one is piggybacks off the other. So yeah, this is why we've ended up here.
Okay.
Before we move on to our next match, let me take this quick time out to tell you guys about Edge Boost. And let me ask you the question: have you signed up for Edge Boost yet? If not, you are missing out. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Simply deposit funds into your account and Edge will match the deposit so you can use 2 times the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances, up to $2,500 that you can add to your bankroll. My Edge Boost double down play of the day, my lock essentially, will be given out at the end of the show. But pause the podcast now and head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. You must be 21 years or older to use this. Only valid in legal gambling states. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-GAMBLER. So moving on to our next match. It's one which is closest in terms of odds, and I don't agree with that, to be honest. Brock Lesnar is the 4-7 favorite to win against Cody Rhodes, who is the 5-4 underdog. Now, when I say I don't agree, it's not that I don't agree with the person who's the favorite. I think that Brock Lesnar should be a more significant favorite than this. And all the times he's been to Saudi, he suffered one defeat, which was to Roman Reigns, which was a controversial defeat as well. He's been booked strong every time he's gone there. Brock Lesnar doesn't lose 2 matches in a row to anybody. Cody Rhodes is going there with a broken arm. It's a very, very easy loss to set up 3 matches. So I think Brock should have been a far stronger favorite, to the point where there's actually value in this. Betting, $180 to win 100 here is actually, for me, an acceptable bet that I would take. I think betting 180 to win 100 on Brock is actually value. I don't think that that's too wide for me.
I go with Brock winning too, and some non-logic logic here. I hate when they do the guy's hurt. Now it's like, it's not a good fun match, and because now it's like, all right, well, the guy, I mean, give me a break. If in real life he has a broken arm and he's going to go against Brock Lesnar. He just tried to go against him and Brock grabbed his arm again and just hurt him. So it's like in real life type of nonsense. You go, this makes no sense. Why would you ever do this? They would never do this.
But in real.
Yeah. In real life. Brock Lesnar kills
everyone.
Exactly. He wins anyway, even if he's healthy. but yeah, his arm is broken. And then it was a weird ending to Raw because it was like he was begging Triple H to do this. And then Triple H says, okay. And it looked like Cody was almost like, No, no. I want you to force me not to. What are you doing? Like, it looked like he was like, oh, shit, you're going to let me?
Well, I think this could be Triple H stopping the match or something along those lines. But ultimately, it will end in Brock Lesnar winning. I don't think there's any way that you can go forward with this feud unless Brock wins. I don't think you end it here with Cody injured. Cody winning injured damages Brock too.
And
Brock's done enough damage. Brock under Triple H has been absolutely shockingly booked. I think that he believed that he took over at SummerSlam, where Brock lost a great match. And then since then, he's been going 50-50 with Bobby Lashley. He's facing Omos at WrestleMania. He did nothing in the Royal Rumble. He was eliminated by Bobby Lashley, wasn't he? Quite easily. So this is the thing, that the booking of Brock Lesnar has been beyond poor since Triple H took over. And he needs to win this match. I mean, last time Cody beat him was seen as being fluky, but yeah, I think Brock Lesnar wins this. And as I said, it's probably my best bet, and it's the closest odds.
So what is now then, Cody not going to be in action now for a couple months because they have to pretend he's actually hurt? So now he's not even on, you know, around?
No, because I think Cody would actually be hurt. I think if Cody's off TV and off house shows and stuff, it's not because they're selling. You know, in this day and age, the commitment to kayfabe and the business is not that high.
Yeah.
So if Cody's taking time off, it'll be to fix a real problem, which begs the question, is he the guy? Do you end Roman Reigns' run for a guy the same age as him who has a poor injury record in both companies? He had a poor injury record in AEW. He's had a poor injury record here. He's been injured twice. Last time he was out for 8 months or so. And now he'll be out for, 6 or 7 weeks for whatever this problem is. The rumors are to be believed. So for me, he's not the guy who you build up for Roman Reigns. I still believe that. At least if they do it at 40, there is a real story to finish and not some made-up one, like which was an issue last time. But I still don't think he's the right guy to do it with. But staying on point, Brock Lesnar wins this match.
Okay. What do we got next?
All right, so next we're going to do Becky and Trish. This is an interesting one because in this one, I think the odds are too wide. You've got Becky Lynch at the price of 1-4 minus 400, and Trish is 3-1 plus 300 underdog. Everything I'm hearing about this is that this is going on for a while. And if Becky wins this match and then wins the next match, that's two matches, and that doesn't get you to SummerSlam or wherever you're supposed to be going. Now, Becky could win two matches, and they might not be going to SummerSlam, which is fine. But if Becky and her are splitting matches, and the second match is at Money in the Bank, it makes much more sense to Becky to win in the UK than in Saudi. So I think Trish is a live underdog here. I wouldn't be putting any money on Becky Lynch. I'm not predicting Trish. I think this is a hard match to predict, and probably Becky does win. But all the line value is on Trish. There's no value on Becky for 400 to win 100, minus 400. There's no value at all for matches that are going to get split at some point before Becky ultimately wins the feud.
Is it also a case of you have, because like we have said, for Saudi, a lot of good guy stuff for Saudi, you would think. Make the fans happy, right? So Becky to win there, and then to lose in UK because that gets more heat for Trish. People would be more pissed. And with the whole legend type of stuff, I mean, you see that she's kind of gets a dead reaction when she talks. Am I crazy to think that she's getting a, like, it's a bore when she talks? There's something really off. And she tries to get people to act and, like, there's no real reaction to her. So I'm thinking maybe if she really kills her in the UK, that helps to have people be like, I want you dead. You know, one of those things.
Yeah. I think this is why we should really talk about more wrestling on the Dirty Sheet show, because I thought her work has been relatively solid compared to some of the other women. I feel like that she does cut a decent promo. It's not all over the place. She makes a point. the crowd are reacting to it. They're not reacting the way that she wants them to. She finds a way to sort of ad lib. I think she's decent. I don't think she's been bad at all. Obviously, the reaction to certain things is not everything's going to be Bloodline, and not everything's going to be Cody. But I think the reaction has been fine for women's stuff. I just find it funny. There's the stuff online where it's like, oh my God, like Becky looks terrible. Like Trish looks better than Becky. And it's like, dude, you're sitting there with 200 pounds of fat and in your parents' basement, like telling me that this girl is ugly. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like Becky's hot as fire. Like she's been hot ever since she's come back from having a baby. She's looked unbelievable. And just because Trish also looks unbelievable for her age doesn't mean
Trish had a little help too.
Oh, a lot of help. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, pulled back like the Joker.
She can't move her face. but yeah, I mean, I would still prefer Becky over Trish, but really? Trish does look good. Yeah.
I don't like Trish's hair. It bothers me. I'm trying to put my finger on what the problem is other than the whole Joker type of thing. That's part of it. I don't like that feathered Farrah Fawcett shit.
Yeah. Well, I've always preferred Becky to most people that you like anyway. But ultimately, it's just this is what most of the online chatter has been in terms of, oh, Trish looks better than Becky. Well, Trish looks better than Becky. That's kind of the main comment I've seen. And it's been like, what are you fucking talking about? Like, she looks good for her age, but you can see there's a lot of like injections and glue and fat burners and Jesus like knows what else. And it could even be like fucking baby blood or whatever else that these people are doing to get themselves looking that way. But she doesn't look like a human being, is what I'm trying to say.
I think Trish is more of a model look. Like she has that, you know, where obviously in her day as well was, you know, the top of the world. And like that shock.
You know who Trish reminds me of? Go onto Google. And have a look what the porn star Brittany Andrews looks like now. Okay, let me look. Do you remember her?
I know the name.
She's now doing MILF porn. It's Brittany with an A, by the way.
It's what? Brittany with an A?
In the spelling of Brittany, it's not the one N-E-Y. It's A-N-N-Y.
A.
Yeah, Brittany Andrews. And then I assume you'd have to put now to...
Yeah, exactly right.
And this, okay. And that's what Trish looks like now. Okay. So it's very similar, like with the look. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to find. Hold on a second.
It's not quite. It's more Brooke Hogan than Linda Hogan.
It's you know it's what? Still, yeah, I see more Brooke Hogan in this though. She does look like Brooke Hogan. That's funny.
Brilliant. I look like Brooke Hogan, yeah. But I mean, she didn't when she was younger. If you put Brittany Andrews 1996, for example, yeah, like, I mean, well, hold on, 1996 is, I wasn't watching porn in 1996. 2001. Yeah, you'll see like a more younger version that I grew up with.
That's fine. Okay, I'll type that one now.
Just for the record, I was not watching pornography in 1996, because I would have been 13. But yeah. I don't know why that decade popped into my head.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. But yeah, like my whole point was that Trish was the drop dead one, and I find Becky to be the just the pretty girl that you see at a grocery store. Maybe like I find her average, but more than, you know. But like I would never,
yeah, so what,
I would never see her and go, oh my god, you know. It'd be she's very okay. She's a pretty girl. That's about the best I'm giving, you know.
The girl next door versus the porn star.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Or there's a porn series out called Mommy Teaches. And it's like, and it's always like
this
the
isn't with a Japanese guy doing a massage and luring anybody in, is it?
No, that's not that one. It's mommy teaches, and it's always like the mum teaching the daughter how to satisfy her boyfriend, and they both end up like they both became a boyfriend. So it's always like some 45-year-old with a load of work and like an 18-year-old daughter. These two could be that. Although, as I said, the narrative online is Becky looks older than Trish. It's like, are you fucking stupid? Like, really? But these guys, they haven't been with real women, so I mean, their input is meaningless. I've just seen a lot of it.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody. I mean, I don't go online really looking at anybody to talk about anything nonsense with this. I practically stay away. I'll voice an opinion and then sign off, and like I don't even see if anybody's commented or not on it. But what's
yeah, literally, I was tagging you this week in format stuff for Dirt Sheets, and you haven't seen any of it. So you text me today going, "What are we talking about on that show?" I was like, what?
"See a thing."
I put a tweet out going, "This is going to be the majority of our show."
That's funny.
And yeah, but
people call me a mark though, right? When I don't.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always I'm a wannabe mark, which means I'm not a mark, but I want to be one. I guess so. Okay. What's next for our the next bet?
All right. So up next, it's another women's match, and what's interesting here. There's an AW pay-per-view this weekend, and it's in America, and they have two women's matches on the card. Yet WWE are going to Saudi, where women can't speak without raising their hand, and we have three women's matches on this show. So three of the matches here out of the seven that we will cover will feature women. So the next one's for the Raw Women's Championship. And it's Bianca Belair and Oscar. And Bianca, according to the bookies, is less likely to win than Becky is. She's still a significant favorite at 1-3 minus 300, with Oscar at 5-2 plus 250. So you have to bet $300 down on Bianca to win 100. But in my opinion, it's a solid bet. She's not losing. She's done ridiculous PR while she's been over there this week. You just haven't been able to like not see Bianca. She's on posters. She's doing interviews. She's at the presser. So yeah, I think this is a big, big PR tour. This isn't the person to beat her. Me and Brad Shepherd had a long conversation last night, and we talked about Oscar for a bit. And this is one of those things. This is WWE doing the whole AW thing where it's like, oh, we're bringing in somebody, and it's your job to go on YouTube to have a look who they are. It's your job to go and do the homework instead of us telling you. So with Oscar, everybody's telling me this is Kana. This is that version of Oscar with the shorter hair and the face paint and the different mist. Well, I see three things: a haircut, different face paint, and the green mist. Why is this scarier? Why is this a better version? Why is this any kind of upgrade on Oscar, and why should this be more of a threat? I've seen nothing to tell me why that is. I've seen nothing to show me why that she should be a bigger threat to Bianca than anybody else. It's been poorly done. It's been poorly booked. And all we've done for this match is have her interrupt a ceremony where Bianca became the longest reigning champion and spit in her face, which she's already done before. So they are bang out of ideas here. They've done a terrible job as to telling me why Oscar's more of a threat. And I just want to be done with this and have Bianca move on to other people. And I think this is the last match and Bianca wins.
What do you think? The only thing stopping me on this is, and I got to realize that it's WWE that fucks things up. So I don't know why it's sticking me. After you had said,
Bianca looks amazing in a pair of shorts, by the way. I've been out this week.
What a big fat ass.
Yeah.
So the thing is with Asuka, my problem here is this new Asuka, as you just mentioned. So where does she go from here? This is a new, I lost to Bianca. I'm now transforming into somebody who's vicious and scary and mean and being a bad guy. And then she loses again to her? then why bother? Why even have gone through this? In prior wrestling stuff, this makes sense that then she wins because now she's gone to a different level and a different persona, and this is the push. So she's going to go through all that and then lose? And then they go, all right, well, now what? She's going to stay that same character and just have regular matches against anybody?
Well, yeah. I mean, what can you do? You can move her the other brand, or you turn her babyface again, or, you know, Jesus. She could wind up in NXT or something, because they're always having people come in and do a little stint over there. But to be honest, like, despite the fact we just had a draft, that women's division and that tournament that they had over there was pretty decent. Like, if you can eliminate Gigi Dolan and JC in the first round and make it make sense, and still people didn't know whether Tiffany was going to win or Cora was going to win or Roxanne was going to win, I think that's pretty decent. And I think that when Tiffany and Cora come up, they'll be insane to waste them, because they are far, far more interesting and they're far more upside to me than these horsewomen who have been shoved down our throats for the last, like, however many years. How long has it been? Maybe 9 years, I would say. And it's been like Charlotte and Bayley and Becky and Sasha continuously, and two of them, maybe even three of them in some ways, aren't attractive. Sasha's like half attractive. There's something just off. And it's the same with Charlotte, because she's hit and miss as well. Like, she can look great in photos and then she can wrestle.
Well,
and,
in you know, photos, it's all fucking... computer generated.
She's in the ring and she can't beat someone. Her makeup all comes off and she's crying. She's like that thing she does where she can't, where someone kicks out on 2.5 and
yes.
It's like, oh, why can't I
every
win
time.
And it's like, oh god, what? And then it's, and I'm she's like, why can't I win? And I'm thinking, oh my god, why did I defend you? Why did I why did I think that you were, like, you know, it looks bad. But and it's not all about who's attractive or whatnot, but when you are selling women, and look, if UFC had their ideal situation, then they would be able to, they would have attractive women in all the fights. Like, Paige Van Zandt would actually be a good fighter, and not somebody who could never make the step up to the higher level. Ronda Rousey got found out when the girls started to get better, but they were like great looking girls for them to have, and they always would like the attractive girls to do well. In this company, you can do that. You can have Tiffany Stratton beat Bayley all the time. Like, you don't need to push Bayley. You can have the attractive girl who can speak, the princess with the big boobs who can speak and wrestle a little bit. You could have her win all of the time. I don't get why they do this. I don't get why we've had the horsewomen for so many years when you can pick and choose who wins the fights. It makes no sense, because if you can have all of the pretty girls that make men stop on the channel, and this is where we've lost the point of what wrestling's supposed to be. It's supposed to be something where, you know, you have it on, and if, say, for example, you're in a bar and you're channel surfing, and a dude at the bar goes, oh, hold on a minute, leave that on. Leave that shit on.
It's true.
Leave that ass and those titties on the TV. Like, that's what I want to see. But we got away from that somehow, and everything is wrestling, 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 like, all the time. And,
yeah,
you know, it's interesting now to people. Like, okay, we get it. These girls can wrestle for the most part. They can wrestle better than they used to. Some of them really can't. And it still, to me, looks clunky as hell. And it shocks me here to see three matches on this card that are women's matches. But, I mean, here are two of the women who I don't think are channel stoppers. Although Bianca has grown on me a lot over the last year. And when I see her doing PR, I get it. When you see Nick Cannon saying he wants to impregnate her as part of a diss rap, then you become to realize that, okay, like, certain people are really into this. And yeah, she's a pretty girl. Like, when you see her doing a PR and whatnot, obviously the wrestling thing, when all her hair is like tied up.
Yeah,
and
that hair doesn't help.
Pony. Yeah, and I think I think that sucks, and I'm bored of it as well. But yeah, I get it with her, and I think that there needs to be more people like that, and I think it's important to not waste Cora and Tiffany when they come up. But this girl needs challenges after this. I'm not worried too much about the direction of Oscar. You are right. But what's the direction of Bianca? Who is the next challenger on SmackDown? And we still, by the way, in a situation where Bianca's the Raw Women's Champion on SmackDown. And Rhea's the SmackDown Champion on Raw. And the NXT Tag Team Champions are also in SmackDown. And nobody has done anything to address it to this point. It's like that's what it's going to be like all year. I mean, is that really...
I can't believe that. I expected like they did last time where they threw the belts at each other. Remember, it was Becky threw it.
If Vince was in charge, they would be calling him senile and saying, what are, and with Triple H, it's barely mentioned. It's barely been talked about. We're one of the only podcasts talking about it.
I don't know if Vince isn't the one behind, we don't know this. Vince is back doing stuff. I don't know. That's the problem. Unless you hear from a friend of yours that's over there, I'd really like to know how much control does Vince have?
Well, I hear he's not involved. He said himself he's not going to be involved.
Well, he's saying a lot of bullshit, though, with him. I ain't trust him right. What he says.
But the fact he's conceded that he's not going to be involved in the weeds means, to me, with him saying I'm not getting involved in the weeds, is kind of saying... At the same time, you're saying what you're not involved in, but you're also confessing to what you are involved in. Mm. And I think that tells I'm involved with the top shit. I make the big decisions around here. I decide who the champions are and when they're losing their titles. I'm not deciding who is the next challenger for Bianca Belair or Rhea Ripley or anything like that. Like Natty versus Rhea Ripley or this Oscar rematch is probably not his decision. Ultimately, if Bianca drops the title or whatever. Might be his decision. I find it strange that nobody stepped in and said, why is your SmackDown champion on Raw and vice versa? But I expect coming out of this, something will happen because we have a solid 5 weeks until they come to England. Perhaps the Money in the Bank cash in on somebody will revert things back to normal. That's what they're waiting for. I'll take a wait and see approach, but it's becoming a little bit long in the tooth now with having this scenario as it is.
I agree. All right, what do we got next?
Before we move on to our next set of matches, let me quickly take this time out to tell you guys about Shady Rays, because Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you also have a chance to win $500. And for our international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Go to shadyrays.com. Use the promo code SGPN for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. And remember, May is almost over. So make sure to take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady. for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
So final two matches to cover here. We're going to breeze past this SmackDown Women's Championship match. Rhea Ripley is a 1-25 favorite. You need to put $2,500 down on Rhea Ripley to win $100.
Wow. Well, and if you want to make $100 real quick, then you, there you go.
Yeah, you need to find $2,500 first. But yeah, Rhea Ripley wins. I think this really does highlight the lack of depth in the women's division. And, you know, while this match is a complete waste of time to talk about, yeah, it gives us time to talk about else, which is going to be when you saw these drafts put up, mm-hmm, and you saw the women on Raw listed and the women on SmackDown listed, did you see that both brands had under 10 people on each one? So I think maybe one even had like 7 or 8, I think. You don't need two titles when you only have 6 or 7 challenges.
Yeah,
you know. And then you have another title over on NXT. You have tag titles too.
Yeah, that's a joke, because NXT, now it's just, let's put people together for the tag title.
Right. So something needs to be done about that. Perhaps maybe all this is leading to a unification at SummerSlam. I really hope that Rhea and Bianca are unifying at SummerSlam, because you don't need this.
That might make sense, and that's why they have not given the belts to the other side. Why bother? Because then they could even say that. Go, we've had Raw on SmackDown, SmackDown on Raw. Let's, you know, make one real clear winner and do that. I mean, or do they even push it further to go to Survivor Series?
Yeah, I mean, either or. Like, I don't see the point of it. It's different with the men. And it seems very strange where with the men's side, you're introducing another belt because you have this situation over on the men's side. But on the women's side, you have less than 20 women on your main roster, with only a handful of decent women who are roster ready coming up, only a handful of stars coming up from NXT. So if you cut the fat, you would have 25 solid women, and then you could have a decent tag division and a decent chase for the one title at the top with 25 women. And to be honest, I don't like to like advocate for people losing their jobs, but how many cuts is Dana Brooke going to survive? And there are other people there as well. Good on one side of things, where now we do have two genuine managers with Scarlett and Maxine Dupri. That's been missing for ages. It's been a mistake to have everybody wrestle. Having Lana in the ring and having her be worse than people like Bad Bunny and Logan Paul,
yeah,
who really do highlight how poor she was and how poor others are too, not just her. There's people, men that wrestle on AEW that are quite poor. And they've highlighted, like, either you have it or you don't have it. And she didn't have it. Other people don't have it. But not everybody needs to be a wrestler, especially not on the female side of things. This is a program primarily watched by men who are between 18 to 45. At least they say that. Although every time they measure the average age of the fan, it comes out, it gets higher and higher every year. Last year it was 48. Mm. Was the average viewer of Monday Night Raw was 48 years old. So, I mean, I'm not even there yet. You probably are, but
I'm one away.
Yeah. So you're going to be
that's they've been, like, following me.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Jeez. Like you watched it at a boom period. I imagine, yeah, you got in Hogan.
Oh, of course.
WrestleMania 2, 3.
Oh, it was one for sure. Yeah. I was renting all those things. Yeah. Yeah. There was 100%.
So you are the most common fan who stuck with it. WrestleMania 1. So you are now the average age. Like, it started as a joke and ended as a fact. That's exactly where we're at with that. So it's an interesting, like, situation in terms of who do you write your show for? How do you bring in that, like, younger audience? And what do you actually do? But primarily, people of your age, if you are the most common audience, when you see women on there, okay, the wrestling side is fine, but you do need a bit of Maxine Dupree or Scarlett. Like I said, like on Twitter, when you put a tweet out about Sable, I said 1996 Sonny managing the Smoking Guns. And I recall, and even now we're doing a podcast on a poll recently with Vince Russo, when we had to watch things back. Yeah. I wasn't fast forwarding a load of the matches where she was on. Where she's on the side of the ring and she's slapping the mat and everything, and she's dressed as a cowgirl when she was dressing as a cowgirl all the time with the top, which was tied up in the middle, the brown top was tied up in the middle, or the cowboy.
And she put her tits on the mat too, you know, when she knew what she was doing.
Put her tits on the mat, and she got birthday cakes thrown on her.
Yeah.
She was slopped with a slop bucket. So, you know, you had all of that shit like deliberately running down her boobs, which is what they did on purpose. Like, it was all. And they say Attitude Era started in 97, but Sonny's there in 96 with her boobs out, and Goldust is being like gay as hell. Like, I literally watched the other day where he cut a promo talking about how he wanted to. He was eating a chocolate bar and talking about how he couldn't, how he was eating it because he couldn't get enough of the taste of Ahmed Johnson.
You do,
and he hopes that, and hope next time it melts in my mouth like this chocolate. and this was pre Attitude Era, or what they define as it. So I honestly feel people need to have a look back at some of the stuff. Look at how the new version of Ultimate Warrior in 96, Ahmed, Goldust, Sonny, like, was going down in 96 for sure. It's one of my favorite years. But
by the way, this is a betting show too, Billy. We should. this is like the Dirty Sheets, for God's sake.
Oh, I didn't want to talk about Rhea Ripley and Natalya.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, for sure.
Rhea wins. But the last match is interesting. Gunther is a minus 800 favorite now, and Mustafa Ali is a 9-2 underdog, plus 450. Had some reports saying that a shocking title change was lined up for. Fuck. Or it's a clickbait thing saying shocking title changes lined up, and people read between the lines. It was that X-Zero guy who's become less and less credible since he done our show. What cursed him? And,
just like Rogers, you cursed him too.
Right, exactly. I'm going out to watch Rogers play for the Jets. By the way, next season.
Oh, you're going to fly into New York to do that.
I looked at the games. They're playing Chiefs and Bills and Patriots. And if I wait till the last one, which is the Chiefs, there may be a playoff game for the Yankees. Otherwise, it would be a regular season game for Yankees. So I'm definitely watching both. Definitely watching Yankees and Jets while I'm there. And also, there's a UFC card going over there as well at some point. So
you jumped off the abandoned ship to that last place Packer team, huh?
Oh, I haven't abandoned ship. I just want to see. Oh, it's going to be a rough couple of years. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be, yes. It's going to be, welcome to not having a real quarterback. You haven't had one of those in 100 years, so, since you've been alive.
Yeah. It's fine. I'll watch as a neutral for a couple of years. But but getting back, circling back here, there was a report saying that he would lose because it would be an opportunity to free him up for the world title.
Now
he was moving up, but I don't think, I think that if you're moving up, the triple threat match where you could have lost last month without being pinned was a way to do it. His story would be, I never got pinned. That's moving up. If you're pissed that you never got pinned and then you start taking it out on people and moving up to the world title shot, that to me is an upgrade. Losing your belt in this fashion sets you back to the point where you need to get the win back. Because what does he do? If he loses here to Ali in front of his right, then he's got to say, I want my rematch. And then he gets the belt back and won. So for me, there's no way that he loses here. I think that's a false report. And I still think Gunther wins.
See, I heard you with Brad talk about this, and I did not hear the
have you listened to that show? You've listened to that show.
I'm trying to. I know it's 50 hours long. I don't have that much time in a day, but I'm trying. It's I'm toward the end. I've been listening since I texted you this morning. So yeah, it's 3.5 hours of Billy blowing himself. You would think he was the genius. So
that was your takeaway from that show.
It was a lot of it, I'll tell you that. And we're going to talk about it on the Dirty Sheets, so if people want to listen, go to the Dirty Sheets. There'll be discussion. I want to help you out a little bit. So you guys mentioned that Ali did something on Twitter about something like, well, if I can't do this, I'm going to quit. Anytime I hear that kind of shit, it makes me then double think, and I go, how do they get out of that? Even though they could just ignore it. But that is always what then catches me. And I go, well, what the hell? And then I saw how on Raw, I go, look at him abandon that positivity stupid fucking thing and be like, I need to fucking do something. So you go, oh, it seems 100 times more possible, you know, just those two stupid things. And maybe that's just the way they do it to try to get people like me, their average fan, to think, well, maybe this is possible, instead of us knowing this is insane if he went, just because he's the token guy that's going over there. I don't care. It's if anybody even starts to waver, I think they need to think of Drew and Roman when they had Clash at the Castle, because they did this to you like they're doing this to me, where you go, man, they're really, it's all the publicity, and I'm actually believing this now that they're going to do this, because this is his hometown. Everybody's going to go crazy. You got to have him win. And they go, huh, no, not really. So I'm thinking the same type of thing. They're just going to go, no,
here's
no.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I just watched that press conference, and it was a little awkward because he was not as over as he expected to be. And he was talking in Arabic, and he was saying, I'm going to win in front of my people and all of this kind of stuff. And he, at one point he said to, I think it was Byron, he said, oh, sorry, Brian, I couldn't hear you over the people chanting my name. And they weren't. They just weren't chanting his name at that point. And they could have easily heard what he said. So it was too choreographed in terms of to go align with what he was expecting. And obviously, if you're calling an audible at that point, that means that it's fallen below your expectations. If you've been given these lines where you're going to be super over, and you've been given these things to say because the expectation is you're going to be super over. If you don't hit those lines, then you're basically, you know, where the, especially the line where it says, sorry, I couldn't hear you over them chanting my name. But they weren't. So if he says that, if he says that, it means obviously they weren't. But if he doesn't say it, he's basically taking out a line where he's saying he's over and acknowledging that he isn't. But he was significantly less over than Rollins and definitely Sami Zayn in the press conference. So I wonder if that's just a case of they don't believe it.
He wasn't like, okay, born there, yeah, right?
No, but it's like,
I know it's a heritage, but it's like me being over in Italy. I'm not from there. Some Italian,
but Mansoor would have been the one, but obviously Ali would gives you the better match because he's the better wrestler, and he's been flirting with wrestling with the big guys for a while, but he doesn't beat anybody, and I think that's the problem. I don't think it's a case of this isn't our guy. Mansoor's more our guy. I don't think it's that. I think it's a case of they just don't believe it. Like they're smartened up enough with what they with their chants and, you know, singing Rollins song and cheering for Sammy and they were chanting thank you Trish. They know what the storylines are, and that they're a lot more clued up than people think. And I think that they know that he can't win, and that's why he's not getting the big hometown investment. I don't know if it'll be different tomorrow, but I don't think they believe it.
I mean, the guy's from Chicago, for God's sake. Like, yay, look, one of your own. No, he's from Chicago. His wife might be. She wears that head towel and everything, but, you know. All right. Well, I'm going 100% with Gunther on this. I just don't know if they dare to address it afterwards. Does this help him do another story? I mean, you're kind of at the point of, all right, we've tried all we can with you, Ali. I don't know what else we could do. So that's all I think. Go ahead.
What's your like lock? What's your bet of the show? Even if you have to put two matches together to get a decent bet.
Oh, I would. I mean, we all know 100% that Natalia is losing. I would put that.
Well, this
in,
is the point.
It's always an adding on, of course. Going with Sammy and Owens on that one. The Brock one. You got to put Brock in there. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You convinced me with the Bianca one. And do it that way. A little too close for comfort with the Trish and Becky one. I respect your opinion and everything, but that part of me where I think it's better to get heat on Trish in England than it is here makes me think Becky wins it here. So I kind of stay away from that one.
I'm comfortable with any combination of matches. So if I was to give out one lock on the show, it would simply be parlay Brock Lesnar together with Owens and Sammy, because that's a double your money bet. One's close to. It's more than that, because Brock Lesnar alone, by just putting 100 down on him, you end up with 158. Mm-hmm. So if you put the 158 back on to the 1-3 minus 300 selection, because that's how parlay works, you end up with 210 back. So it's 11-10 plus 110 on the two-tiered parlay of Lesnar along with Sammy and Owens. I think that would be my best bet. But I'm very comfortable parlaying Brock, Rhea, Gunther, and Seth Rollins, or even adding Sammy and Kevin to that. So yeah, anything which isn't the Becky Lynch match, which is the one that I don't like. But every other match, I'm comfortable adding. If there's one more I would take off, it would be Gunther. But I'm very, very convinced by the other five. And I think I'm convinced by Gunther too. But just guns to my head in terms of taking matches off, that they would be the ones. There's no way Rollins doesn't win. There's no way Sammy and Owens don't win in Saudi. There's no way Brock doesn't win. There's no way Bianca's losing her title. And there's no way Rhea's losing her title. The other two are small possibilities, in my opinion. Well, Trish and Becky's more than a small possibility. I'm not touching that match. And I think Gunther wins as well. So it's one of those cards. It's not an overly exciting podcast in terms of us having many hot takes. I mean, Trish for me is the only real live underdog, and everything else is quite straightforward. But this is common. This is very common when you go to Saudi.
Yeah, I like that too. I might have to see if, I don't know. Are you halfway blocked on how much you could bet on these things because they know of you?
Oh. Wrestling, absolutely. Yeah.
See, because I'm like, I'd like to send you money, but why bother? Can't do it. Because if you're going to do anything, you can do it for yourself. Maybe I could have fucking one of our buddies, Umar, do it or something like that. So, all right. You want to close on out?
Yeah, let's close on out. So you can follow me on Twitter, as I mentioned at the top of the show. I'm the host of the Soccer Gambling Podcast. So at SGP Soccer, that's at SGP Soccer. And at LockBettingCom for all sports, at LockBettingCom. He is at Lingus Mafia. That's at Lingus Mafia. And to get all of my additional content, wrestling stuff is DirtySheets.com and gambling stuff is LockBetting.com. I've been Billy. He's been Cav. Good luck with all your bets as always. And thanks for listening.